Listen now for the word of God. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. At that time Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and the burden is light. This is the word of the Lord.
Friends, it feels like it's been a long time since I have been in the pulpit with you. I do want to just say a special word of thanks for everyone who turned out last week to help with our Be the Church Sunday. We are going to continue those. We are going to continue making relationships with people all around the community and then strengthening those relationships by essentially being the church with those partnerships and those organizations on probably a couple of Sundays a year from here on out. So we'll get used to that rhythm together, but thank you for all of you who participated, took part. I've heard some wonderful things from those organizations and from those groups that have went out, so thank you. To begin, I think I want to just point out something that we all sort of know, that the English language is sort of funny sometimes, right? And what I mean by that is, do you recall some of those words that we have in the English language that sound the same, but maybe spelt differently, and then mean different things? Can y'all name any of those words? Read and read, right? And they kind of mean something different. What about like to and two? Yeah, right? We're going to the store to buy two boxes of cereal. I don't know, right? Or there and there. Right, yeah, that's a confusing one. One of the ones that I find really confusing is bear and bear. Bear as in the animal, and then bear as endure. They're spelled exactly the same, but have different meanings, right? So we can keep doing this. I can even go a little further. Flower and flower, different things like that. Let's talk about that as we move along. But I remember as a child listening to this passage. So listening to the priest read this passage during a homily, and I remember being horrified by the woes that Jesus was pronouncing on these particular cities. Now, our lectionary conveniently glides over that part. We skipped right over it in our reading of Scripture today. We go right to that very well-known and comforting invitation by Jesus. Some of y'all can probably just recite this by memory. What does Jesus say? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy. Yeah, you're doing the King James Version, Morris. Yes, thank you. And then Jesus concludes that invitation with I will give you rest. I'll give you rest. Now, for a good part of my childhood, it was the next part of Scripture that actually captured my imagination and sent my childhood theology in wayward ways, okay? As most of you know, let me start here. That last line that we read, take my yoke upon you. That's what Jesus says, right? Yeah, I think some of y'all know where I'm going with this. I love food. I love eggs, right? And so it wasn't surprising that I mistook this reading to mean that Jesus was telling me that the yoke of his egg was easier to hold. I got the metaphor of faith, right? But that faith was sort of like that yellow part of an egg, the yolk. It was a great comfort to me at the time, right? Grandpa and grandma, they made me scrambled eggs. And I can only assume they made me scrambled eggs because yolk was difficult to keep together. Y'all with me still? Yolk and yoke, Y-O-K-E versus Y-O-L-K, they sound remarkably similar if you are just listening to those words. Jesus means yoke, not, well, Y-O-K-E, not Y-O-L-K. And a yoke is what? Do any of y'all know what a yoke is? It's kind of that wooden tool that farmers use and they lay across oxen when they are doing work in the field, which is also a striking image because Jesus will eventually carry a wood-like burden in the form of a cross, right? Now, the image of a heavy wooden burden upon our shoulders is a much more accurate image of faith than the one I had taken away as a child, where I sort of imagined everyone sort of walking around with an egg yolk faith, right? Being very careful, not wanting it to run everywhere, trying desperately to hold it together. Hold it together. Now, my misunderstanding, I think, seems all too common, even if I happened upon it through a mishearing. Because what type of rest would satisfy anyone who relied exclusively on their own efforts to save themselves? What kind of rest is Jesus offering in this passage? And what stands in our way of receiving that type of rest? Now, one thing that makes this scripture a little puzzling is that generally Jesus talks positively about children. But in this passage, we have kind of two different ways that Jesus uses children. He compares his generation to what? The children who seem puzzled, and they sit around, and they sort of are confused at why nobody understands them, right? Now, in context, Jesus has just finished talking about John the Baptist. And as we discover, Jesus and John approach their ministries in very, very different ways. John is sort of characterized in Scripture as the wild man in the wilderness, right? He has this message of repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And John sort of embodies this coming kingdom because it's sort of coming, this message, through a very non-traditional person in a very non-traditional setting. Out in the wilderness. And the established elites, the religious elites at the time, sort of acknowledged that this is weird, right? John's a weird guy. John is a little crazy. He eats bugs. He wears camel's hair, right? Jesus, on the other hand, comes and teaches in the very established places of religion, in the synagogue, in the temple, but more so to open our hearts to people and circumstances that the established religious order would steer us away from, to attend to those that society has marked unclean or corrupt. So in an almost comedic image, Jesus seems to point to a dynamic that is still with us today. And this dynamic is, we tend not to receive God's wisdom unless it comes to us on our own terms, from people that we expect it from places that we expect to receive it from, which I think presents us with an opportunity to hold a mirror to our inner motivations. Did John wail in the desert, expecting others to mourn? Did Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners, expecting praise from his contemporaries? Likewise, do we abide in faith to receive validation from the world around us? And Jesus names that dynamic as a childlike immaturity. Jesus' invitation to rest, therefore, is not for the weariness that comes from faith lives that seek validation from the world around them. In contrast, we have this other way that Jesus uses this childlike quality. Jesus prays to God.
He does this after issuing those woes, which I think is important to keep in mind, that the invitation to rest comes through those hard words by Jesus. The prayer brings about that second reference to childlike characteristics. Jesus prays, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants." So these two childlike qualities, I think, become easier to see when we lay them side by side. The first is a childlike immaturity that views faith as a mechanism for receiving validation from the world around them. The second holds faith with a childlike vulnerability that recognizes a deep need for God, which is exactly what Jesus is pronouncing these woes over these cities, that they did not repent, that they did not speak and act in their need for God. So to hold faith with a childlike vulnerability means that we cannot validate our own faith lives, no matter how good we are at keeping our yokes together, right? Is this not a temptation for us to validate our ways of being through performance, to look for validation from political powers, to see our lives as successful through our intellectual achievements, to know our worth by how people receive our personal charm? Now, to these ends, I'm reminded of other words from Jesus when he says, "So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you," Jesus says, "they have received their reward in full." In other words, all the worldly applause, all the worldly validation cannot completely heal the weariness that same world helped create. But I believe that Jesus does offer us rest. I believe that Jesus comes beside us like two oxen that share a yoke, Y-O-K-E, and they carry a burden together. And that childlike vulnerability that holds faith says again and again, "I need God. I need God like an infant needs a parent." And we need God in that exact same way today. But only when our gaze matches that of Jesus do we begin to see what Jesus saw, that the world is upside down. Jesus saw a world where the powerful prey on the weak, where strength looks to fortify rather than build others up, where sin was defining of a whole person's life. That doesn't sound a lot different than our world today to some degree, which means our world still and will always need the God whose power is made perfect not in our strength but in our weaknesses. The God who takes away the sins of the world so that we may inherit a new earth. The God who is raised up not to lord over others, but to raise them up as well. So that type of rest that Jesus offers, as a recent theologian help me see, it's not offered to the strongest and the most powerful. It's offered to those who have been made weary by a world that fails to comprehend the burden of injustice around them. And Jesus' life reflects the kind of rest that we are invited into, the kind of rest that we are invited to share and extend to the world around us, not as an escape from all burden or all heavy burdens, but bearing with those around us who are experiencing heavy burden. Bearing with, enduring with. To gather under the weight of our collective burdens, to look one another in the eye and to say with hope, God is with us. You're not alone. We got this. Now how can I help? Now, my mishearing of yoke and yoke did give rise to a common misunderstanding and consequently led me on a trajectory of a faith that was sort of self-defeating in many ways. See, faith is not something that we hold like an egg yolk, constantly terrified that it will break, that it will run off the edges, expecting that the better we hold it, the better we perform, the less burdensome it will become, the tighter it will hold together. Jesus never says, keep it together. That is not the gospel. Jesus says, come, be yoked with me, and let us carry on together. So should it be for us with others. And yoked together, that is when we will experience and be able to see the rest that Jesus offers. So let us pray. O holy and living God, we give you thanks for this gift of rest, this gift of peace that you give us that resides inherently in the lives of faith that you call us to. And Lord, we pray that you give us the courage, that you give us that childlike vulnerability, to say that we need you. To say that we need you. And may our need for you be reflective in the way that we receive need, in the way that we see need in the world around us. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.